Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about 1 Corinthians 10. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the wilderness. These things took place as examples to keep us from craving evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did, and were killed by snakes, and do not complain as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. Now these things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So the one who thinks he is standing firm should be careful not to fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide an escape, so that you can stand up under it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to reasonable people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of blessing that we bless a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices fellow partakers in the altar? Am I suggesting then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, too. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons, too. Are we trying to provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is edifying. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat anything set before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone tells you, "This food was offered to idols," then do not eat it. For the sake of the one who told you, and for the sake of conscience. The other one's conscience, I mean, not your own. For why should my freedom be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced for that which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do not become a stumbling block, whether to Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, as I also try to please everyone in all I do. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, that they may be saved. This is God's Word. This chapter concluded Paul's teaching to the Corinthians on the matter of eating meat offered to idols. The chapter began by pointing to Israel's history in verses 1 through 5. And it reminded the Corinthians how much God did for them as a nation in verses 1 through 4. But the passage also reminded the Corinthians how many of the Israelites fell under the judgment of God due to their unbelief, as we saw in verse 5. That survey of Israel's exodus, was addressed to the Corinthian believers who believed that they were strong in Christ and could exercise much Christian liberty. Yes, God had done much in their lives and in their church, but he did much for Israel too. God's powerful acts for Israel did not prevent the Israelites from worshiping idols, as we saw in verses 6 and 7, or from committing sexual sins, as we saw in verse 8, or from testing Christ, as verse 9 says, or from being complainers, as verse 10 says. And we too, like the Corinthians and like the ancient Jews, we too have received much from Christ. But that should never lead us to believe that we are immune from sin. You can see that in verses 11 and 12. Although idols aren't real and there is no spiritual or moral damage done by eating meat offered to idols, there is temptation associated with idol meat. The temptation is to fall fully into idolatry, as we saw in verse 14. The idols are not real gods or even representations of real gods. There's only one God. Nevertheless, the idols do represent demons, and so idolatry is demonic, as we saw in verse 20. If the Corinthian Christians participated in Christ through communion, as we saw in verses 16 and 17, and then went to the idol's temple and were involved there, as Paul described in verses 18 through 22, they were participating in the demonic. Paul said they would face the Lord's discipline in verses 21 and 22 for these actions, for mingling the table of Christ with the table of demons. It is important, then, whenever a Christian exercises liberty, not to focus on themselves, but to think about the others around us, as we saw in verses 23 through 30. The guiding question for every Christian's life must be, one, am I playing with temptation to sin, but calling it Christian liberty? That's in verses 12 and 13. Two, is God glorified by this, as we saw in verse 31? Meaning, does it help or create obstacles to the spread of the gospel in the lives of other people? And again, that's verses 32 and 33. Christians may answer these questions differently on the same subject. For instance, here's an example. One issue that Christians debate is whether it's acceptable to drink alcohol. The Bible condemns and warns against drunkenness, but not against all consumption of alcohol. And Christ himself drank wine, and most Christians have consumed wine down through the years until very recently. But alcohol is a serious problem in our world, and many Christians were saved from a sinful life where alcohol was part of their sinful lifestyle. Some of these Christians who've been saved from alcoholism stopped drinking completely in order to live an orderly and obedient life to Christ. Personally, I don't drink alcohol at all, for several reasons. But if I did, I would be exposing myself to temptation, the temptation to drink too much, and the possible reckless things I might do while drunk. So, if I were to choose to exercise my Christian liberty by having a beer, for instance, my faith in Christ and my desire to please him should lead me to be careful about having more than I should, lest I give in to temptation. And verses 12 and 13 describe that. Also, it may not be wrong for me to drink a glass of wine, but if I knowingly drink when I'm with another believer who doesn't drink because he has less self-control, then I'm sinning by putting him into a position where he also may be tempted. So the limits of Christian liberty are about avoiding temptation myself and not leading another believer, or unbeliever even, into sin. We saw that in verse 32. Is there an area of your life where you are living in Christian liberty, but you're tempted to go further into something that is sinful? Are you considerate in the way you exercise your Christian liberty, of the effect that your life might have on others, either leading them closer to Christ or misleading them from following Christ. Let these chapters from 1 Corinthians help you to guide your thinking as you make choices in everyday life. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address there to receive these every day in your email. The daily email will cue you to be reading God's Word because there's a link to the daily scripture reading in each one. And my daily devotional is in those emails as well, and that will help you apply God's Word to your life every day. This is completely free, and you can unsubscribe at any time, so there's no risk. Give it a try. Go to dailypbj.com/subscribe. And if you would like to support my work financially, please go to dailypbj.com/support for instructions about how to do that. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.